path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Feel like you're in a black hole of stress and challenges in your life and just don't see the light, let alone have any energy to crawl out of your hole? Do you feel overwhelmed by the current events going on around us and find yourself discouraged about the future? I know that I've been there way too many times in my life, and today I'm excited to introduce you to the person who inspires me to keep going even when I'm not sure I want to. Hi, this is Cheryl, and today joining me is the unsinkable Paul Boynton, who is the creator of Begin With Yes. Besides being a great source of inspiration for me, Paul is the most positive person I have ever met in my entire life. He's an author, a motivational speaker, a coach, an award-winning CEO, and most impressively, a chief optimist. And he's here with us today. Paul, welcome to the show.
You know, I am so happy to be with you. And just to hear the sound of your voice is inspiring to me. So thanks for asking me back.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you here. Well, I wanted to start off with a conversation you and I had, and I don't know if you remember this, but it left an indelible impression on my life. Last year, we were talking about some of the things that are going on around us, and you said something that resonated, and that's that when we're faced with strong, opinionated people, and that's what was going on at the time that we talked and still is in our country today. You said it wasn't your job to change their mind. And I think that that's such a large leap and this revelation that I had never appreciated before. But when we're dealing with what we're dealing with and the challenges around us, and you say, yeah, we don't have to change each other's mind. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, so much of what I say to other people in conversation, I'm actually saying to myself too, Cheryl, because everyone I know, and I put myself into this camp, has had challenges and difficult stretches. And I'm not talking about difficult days. I'm talking about difficult, months and sometimes even years where things just aren't going the way that you wish they were or had thought they were going to or had planned that they were going to. And I think one of the traps that I have fallen into myself and I see other people falling into is not being clear about what is our job. And I think we need to have people in our life like you are in mine and some of my other friends who sort of bring us back to reality and say to us, hey, Paul, is this really your job to take care of? Is this something you need to fix? Because many of us, and I know this is true for me, automatically want to fix things, whether it's things or people or situations. And so I tend to jump into that role of fixing. And I need people to sort of say, wait a minute, Paul, that's really not your job. Not only is it not something you can do, which is almost always the case, but it's nothing that you should be doing. And especially when it involves other people, it's ultimately not very respectful to the other person for you to be fixing them or changing them or making them be the way you think they should be or would be happier if they were that way. So I guess it's just a reminder to pay attention to what is really your job here, what is your responsibility here, and almost always it has more to do with you and less to do with somebody else.
That's, that just hits the nail on the head because we tend to, so many of us are fixers because we think that we're the ones that have to get it right, get it done because someone else can't or won't. So we take on this expanded role. And I know I hear this a lot, especially from parents with adult children. And they're no longer children. They're adults. They're out making their own decisions. And yet the parents still feel like they need to control or at least make the children accountable to them because they're not doing the things that the parents want them to do. And you never get anywhere trying to change someone else, especially, as you mentioned, you've got to deal with yourself.
Right.
And trying to help somebody else is admirable, and I appreciate it. Trying to change someone else normally means there's something about you that just doesn't work for you, but you don't want to focus on yourself. You want to focus on somebody you think you can change.
And Cheryl, if it worked, then I might be arguing to do it, but it almost never, ever works. And so it's sort of like your choice isn't necessarily about fixing other people, but it's about spinning your wheels because it just doesn't work. So you sort of go into it knowing that and being reminded of that.
Even today, as we look at, and you're right, the challenges we all face, you know, yeah, sometimes they're an isolated incident, but oftentimes they go on for long periods of time. And we feel like we have to do something, and we have to, but what we want to do is try and fix or change something that is out of our control. And we forget the only person we can control is ourselves. And even that, I don't know about you, but it's like I thought I had all this control over my life and realized that I was spinning my wheels on myself because I was focusing on the wrong things.
I'm with you 100% on that one, too. So it's really tricky, really, and it's kind of laughable, but it's really tricky figuring out what things do you have power over and what things don't you have power over. And, I certainly, speaking personally and with all that's going on in the world today, and it really doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you sit. It's chaotic and uncomfortable, and in many days, it certainly feels to me like it's a crazy world out there. And as the more I focus on that, the less I'm focused on things that I can actually do something about. And so it takes discipline, and it takes having people in your life to remind you. I think as we're talking about this too, I think that there are some exceptions, and it's not about fixing people, but if someone says to you, Paul, do you have any suggestions on what I might do, offering to help somebody who is legitimately seeking help and wanting help is a totally different topic, and
exactly.
That's probably one we can save for another show.
I think you're right about that one. I agree with you because oftentimes people ask for advice and people are looking for, I just need a different perspective. And you and I are the same. I'm happy to offer my perspective, but it's not my job to ram my position down your throat. Because honestly, this world is amazing because we have the diversity of opinions and differences in us. Those differences are what makes this world exciting. So I don't sit there. I may not agree with someone, and I know you and I are in the same position there on a lot of things. We may not agree, but I respect someone else's position because that's their choice. They've come through something in their life to get them at where they are. They have their beliefs. How can I disrespect that? I don't walk in their shoes. We don't
That's
walk
right.
in someone else's shoes.
And isn't it also interesting, Cheryl, that there, you know, I think that we see the way we solved our own problems or challenges as the way to do it. But there's many times millions of different ways to approach a problem or a situation. And frankly, I've sometimes seen some of the choices other people are making as being maybe better choices for me. So the way I thought I needed to approach a problem, I've discovered other ways of moving and more effective ways. And so there isn't just one way to deal with grief. There isn't one way to deal with depression. There isn't one way to deal when you feel like the world is out to get you. I mean, there are many, many different approaches. And so that's when we begin to talk about paying attention to our own inner voice and trusting ourselves a little bit more, trusting that we do have intuitive skills. We just haven't been listening to them, perhaps. And we begin to find our own way, because there isn't just a way. There's many ways.
There's many, and every single one of us has such a different background, whether it's our upbringing, where we came from before we were even born into this life, for those that believe that. We came here for a purpose, and we're finding our way as we go. And as I was thinking about this, Paul and I, we're so much about keeping it simple. And we're, you know, you and I have followed this path for so long. And it's like having a road going from point A to point B, but there may be five roads that go from point A to point B. They just go differently. And because I choose one and you choose another, doesn't mean either one's right or wrong. It's just different options. And we have those in our lives.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, sometimes we decide when we're halfway to point B that we've changed our mind and we, you know, redirect ourselves. This glitch with the radio is like a perfect example. Neither you nor I have any control over that. And so our decision just to pick up where we left off and then keep moving is a perfect example of focusing on what you have control over and what you don't.
And when you go with the flow, so to speak, and say, you know what, it happens, just let's move on, as opposed to getting all tied up in the whys and the what ifs. And don't you think that causes us so much stress? We try and analyze things almost to death instead of looking at the simplicity of them.
Oh, boy, you just said a mouthful there, Cheryl. And it's like analyzing, having second thoughts about what we've already done when it's too late to do anything different, which I know a lot of people who spend hours agonizing over decisions that have already been made, you know, opportunities that have already been missed. And then they miss the next opportunity because they're lamenting the opportunity that they missed out on 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, we can overanalyze. We can use our thinking skills to the point of distraction, and keeping it simple is always, almost always, the best option. And that's why we need people in our life who can bring us back to reality when we're overthinking. Someone to say, hey, Paul, what could you do that might be a little bit simpler here? Or what is it that you really want to see happen? How are you actually really feeling right now, Paul? I mean, having those kinds of people in our lives is a tremendous gift.
I think that's true in so many ways, because when we're talking with, as we are now, people, and I've been there a lot in the last few years, when you get down so low that you can't see up, you're thinking about everything that went wrong or everything that could go wrong, as opposed to just being where you are at that moment and saying, all right, that's past. I can't do anything about the future because I don't know if that future exists. I'm in this moment, and in this moment, I'm okay. You know, no, I may not like what has gone on around me. I may not like it, what have happened, but right at the moment, I'm okay. And keep it as simple as that to be able to say, all right now I'm all right. I can choose what I'm going to do next without getting caught up in the what ifs and what happened.
Well, I mean, that in and of itself is worth the whole show. It's a very powerful observation. And because you are right at this point, right in this moment, you're breathing and you're okay. As simple as that sometimes.
Well, and as we know, not everybody is quite that lucky. And I, from my perspective, since I've gone through a lot of loss lately, I look at this and go, like you said, I'm alive. I'm still breathing. I have a roof over my head. I have good friends and wonderful friends to talk to in the radio show and people around me. Is everything else the way that I wish that it would be? No, but if I focus on the good right now, we feel better. And isn't that what it's about?
Yeah,
it's not about what we fix. It's about how do you want to feel in this moment and what's going to get you there?
That's so true. And it's also not about sort of creating this sort of make-believe fantasy world where everything is perfect or there aren't really dark days or dark weeks or even, you know, months of darkness. Because by the time you've gotten to be our age, Cheryl, you've had some dark moments, right?
Yeah.
Some really dark cycles. And it's just part of being human beings. And if there's anybody listening that, I mean, and we don't even have to tell you how old we are. If you've been around the block a few times, you know what we're talking about. In life, it does have challenges. And there are good days and bad days and good months and bad months. And it's all part of the deal. And so I never tell people that things aren't as bad as they think they are, because sometimes they really are as bad as you feel. And in those kinds of situations, I think one of the strategies that has worked for me and maybe for you, Cheryl, and maybe for people listening, is to shift the focus away from yourself, because right in this particular moment, you can't get to a much better place for yourself. And so focusing your attention on somebody else, getting outside of yourself a little bit. Sometimes it's as simple as watching a funny movie or a funny TV show and laughing. And I find I talk to people who talk themselves out of having those sort of moments of respite or moments of relief because they're so locked into feeling bad. And yeah, the thing that you're dealing with right now is really difficult, is really sad, is really heartbreaking. But that doesn't mean that you can't engage in a conversation. You can't laugh at a joke. You can't look at a funny video on your Facebook page and smile for just a moment. And I think it's really, you talk about small steps, Cheryl, but in many ways, moving past difficult times is like not just one small step at a time, but it's one moment at a time. And you have one moment, and that gives you hope that you can have another moment.
When we take those moments, and I think for anyone that's listening, when you get into these places of darkness, you almost think that it's being disrespectful to be happy. It's being sticking your head in the sand and pretending nothing went wrong. And that's not what this is about. Whatever didn't work or went wrong or whoever died, whatever the case may be, just because those events happen doesn't mean you need to continue to punish yourself or make yourself feel bad as if that somehow is going to atone for whatever happened in the past. You can't change that, but you can learn to live again and be happy again. And that's not disrespectful. It's not facing what you've had to deal with or what your challenges are. It's just choosing the life you're going to live.
And as you point out, it's not just about dealing with loss, but I know people who feel like if they don't worry constantly, then something really bad is going to happen. So we have all these myths. And so if you're one of those people who worry constantly, it's okay to go to a movie and watch something funny and put the worry aside. You can come back to it later. And for 15 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, to have some respite. And then the other thing is that we are surrounded by people who could use a little bit of joy in their life. And so if you can't find it for yourself, how about finding it for somebody else? How about doing something that might not necessarily be about you feeling better, but helping somebody else to feel a little bit better for the moment? And we're, you know, Marianne Williamson said, and this is kind of dated and it's an old quote of hers, but someone once said to her, you know, how do I find my ministry? And she said, you know, open your Rolodex. And now I guess we'd say open your iPhone and look at all the people that you already know. Because our ministry is right where we are. Our opportunity to reach out and touch and love and help other people, we're surrounded by opportunities to do that. And if that's all you can do, the miracle about that is that when you're helping somebody else feel better, you almost always feel better yourself. And you do get that moment of respite where you're not in the deepest, darkest point of your grief or worry or whatever your situation is.
I think that's a really good point. And it's that it helps both someone else. It ends up helping you. It could be as simple as, you know, taking care of the dogs and the cats at the Humane Society and going to play with a pet in the meantime, help an organization that's trying to find good homes for pets. Or I like this one. This one always stayed with me. You know, if you've been in a hospital, bake cookies and take them into the nurses. And if you love baking or making food up and you give that away to someone else, not only do you make them feel good because they've got something special, but you did something that you love to do. And that's a powerful step. And the respite part of it is so important because it is a break that gives your mind the chance to focus on something more positive, that you're really not ignoring what was going on, but you're shifting your focus. So I think that's just one of the best things. I've got to agree with you on that one, Paul. Well, if you've got, and we're winding down our time today. It's gone so quickly. As you're looking at everything that's going on in the world today, and people are so stressed out, what's your top advice for what they can do to help with their stress?
I think what comes to mind, Cheryl, is seems like a contradiction. It's to be gentle and kind with yourself and to be tough with yourself and to use sort of your intuition, sort of the referee between those two things. I think that with all the stress in the world, we could ask ourselves and we could answer also, what could I do to feel less stressed? And sometimes that means walking away from the TV set. It means reading a good, you know, mystery novel. It means calling a friend that always makes you laugh. It might mean going shopping. But so we know the answers to some of these questions. We just haven't been listening to ourselves. And so I'm always talking to people about finding that balance between being kind and gentle with yourself because you are going through a difficult time or your stress level is really high and you need to not push too hard. And then also to be tough to, you know, I think of that visually, getting out of bed in the morning when you don't feel like it, when you'd rather pull the covers over your head. And you know how that starts, getting out of bed in the morning? It's putting that first foot on the ground and then the second. And then you stand up and you reach for your bathrobe. And then you find yourself in the hallway going down the stairs and letting the dog out or whatever it is. But it's a series of very small steps. And so that's the best I can offer for suggestions for dealing with the stress is to pay attention because you have a lot of the answers. Most of the answers, maybe all of the answers already within.
Well, and I love that. And Paul, I think that when you started this off by saying being kind to yourself, I think when we get into these places where it's so difficult and so negative, we spend so much time beating up on ourselves that if we can just say, I'm going to be good to myself, I'm going to be kind. We tend to be kinder to others than we are to ourselves. Well, we need a little bit of that too. And I think that is just a wonderful place to start. And when you're being kind to yourself, you can sit there and say, okay, if I was saying this to my best friend, is this how I would say it? And if you'd say, no, I'd be nicer than that. Well, then be nicer to yourself. Right. It's just such a wonderful point. Well, Paul, we're about to wrap up the show. So before we go, tell everyone where to find you, your website, social media, and tell them the name of your latest book.
Okay. The book I'm working on right now is called Be Amazing, which is about discovering how amazing you really already are and moving forward with enthusiasm and excitement. And the place to find me is both on my website and my Facebook page, Begin With Yes. There's a great community of people there. And we're all sort of, there's so much group participation on the Facebook page that if you go there and join in, you'll be part of a community, and you'll have opportunities to encourage people and be encouraged there as well. So it's always great talking to you, Cheryl. We'll do a catch-up call offline soon, okay?
That sounds good. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being on the show today. It is always an absolute joy, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will talk soon.
Awesome. Love you, Cheryl.
Love you too, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Everyone, thanks for being here with us this afternoon. This is Cheryl Maloney, and you've been listening to Paul Boynton with Begin With Yes. Thanks again to Empower Radio for letting us be here and do this tonight, to Mark, my producer, and of course to Brent Carey, because without him, we couldn't begin with yes on Empower Radio. So have a good week. We'll see you next week.